0-2. Left side, that's through. Base hit. Nick's around third. Gordon's throw coming home is in time. He got him.
I was trying to run on a Gold Glove left fielder, and that was a terrific play by Alex Gordon. From Nick Capra's standpoint, it takes a perfect throw to get him, and Madrigal's cut down at the plate.
Yeah, I knew it was going to be close, especially right off the bat. I knew he had a good arm and left. It was just bang, bang play. Perez made a really good tag just right on the corner where I put my hand. I thought I was going to get in there, but, yeah, he made a really good tag, and it's just one of those plays. I mean, if the throw is a little bit up the line, just a tad more, I'm probably safe. That's the great part about baseball is bang, bang plays like that.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and Matt Spiegel on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
You're listening to Inside the Clubhouse here on 670 The Score. He's Bruce Levine. I'm Matt Spiegel. That's Nick Madrigal. First game and an eventful first time around the big league bases. Reached base on an error and then out at home on the Leury Garcia single. Alex Gordon with a terrific arm. And there's some stuff to review for Nick Madrigal from his first time there. But seemed to fit in quite nicely. And it's good to see him in the big leagues finally, Bruce.
Yeah, well, finally, six days into it. So we'll talk about that as we as you set up our next guest, right?
Yeah, this next guest joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford is in Melrose Park.
Director of Player Development for your Chicago White Sox, Chris Getz, nice enough to join Matt Spiegel and myself on Inside the Clubhouse this morning. Good morning, Chris, and... I think we dropped the line there. Okay. Chris, you with us?
I'm with you guys. Hope you guys are doing well.
Good morning.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I guess we'll hit the White Sox in a moment, but just from your level of being the director of the player development and the minor leagues and pretty much in charge of what's going on with South Bend along with Rick Hahn and Kenny Williams, your thoughts about what we're hearing now with the Cardinals, that game, the Cardinals and Brewers have been canceled for tonight. And just the general idea of where we're at and hoping to be able to stay as baseball.
Well, being the position that I'm in and certainly a baseball fan, I hope that we continue to be able to, play a season. The phrase, day to day is never applied more than now, day at a time. And, when you wake up or you read, when you read something or you get a text, your heart goes a little bit, in reading more about the Cardinals and more information now is coming in. It seems to be staff that have, affected right now. Maybe I'm sure there's probably more information as well, but it's disappointing to hear. On our end, we still prepare for tonight's game against Kansas City on the major league side. And I'm in Schaumburg this morning, preparing our guys for what's in front of us today, in preparation for tomorrow. And who knows what that brings, but, just like anything, you take what's given to you. We've got a task at hand today and we do it the best of our ability. And it's as simple as that.
The news of the day, if anyone doesn't know, is that there are apparently more than five members of the Cardinals organization who have tested positive. Cardinals Brewers canceled again today. Not sure what their doubleheader tomorrow would be. But Chris Getz, so you're in Schaumburg, and it's been the assumption for most of us that if needed, MLB was ready to ask a certain team, maybe it'll be the Marlins, who knows, to go 20 deep into their satellite roster, into their Schaumburg-esque roster. Like, to, okay, 20 guys are out, give us the next 20, and then give us the next 20 after that. Like, how have you prepared for this year, and have you thought about that? That, all right, might I at some point need to provide 20 players to Rick Renteria from this Schaumburg bunch at some point? That kind of thing.
Well, within the rules, you're given a 60-man pool, and that was by design to prepare for situations like this. Now, you know, to everyone's defense, this certainly is an uncharted waters for everyone to go into season and go against the pandemic. So there's going to be some things that pop up from time to time that some are manageable and some take a little bit more creativity than others. You know, it's my job to prepare these guys here in Schaumburg for what may be asked. If that means it's a wave of 10 players that need to be inserted on our major league club, we try to prepare these guys for that. You know, we've got certain arms throwing today, position players getting their at-bats and their work in, you know, just to get them ready for what may be asked. This pool is there to provide whatever is needed, you know, whether it be an outbreak or injury and what have you. So, but there are little things along the way. We have to figure out who's going to be affected. Are there more players and staff that are affected? And there's the tracing, those types of things that need to happen for just player safety to be able to move forward. So, you know, I hope that we're able to navigate all this as smoothly as possible. But the reality of this is there are some unknowns. And I think, you know, if there are too many of these things that pop up along the way, I mean, who knows what's in store. But once again, you know, it's my job to get these guys ready to play some baseball, if that's tomorrow or the next day.
Chris, do you feel more like a general on the front lines in a war, which this is for everybody in this country, rather than the director of player development?
You hate to make a war comparison, but I guess, you know, with that analogy, you have to be prepared for anything. And certainly, you know, we've got a support system in place, whether that be staff and certainly the players, to help along the way with whatever happens. I can't say that I've been through anything like this before, nor have the players or staff. But, you know, you just try to keep these guys prepared. And our players and staff so far have really approached things, I think, in the proper manner. And then you just wait for guidance from above or from MLB with what the following steps are.
Hey, Chris, I saw a stat the other day about Luis Robert that just absolutely floored me. That at this point, and this was on the 30th, the morning of the 30th, 244 hitters in baseball had seen 50 pitches or more. And the lowest rate of fastballs, four-seamers and two-seamers, sinkers, was Luis Robert. The lowest rate, 30.5%. So pitchers have been attacking him with off-speed stuff, and he's still hitting the ball hard as much as he is. Does that surprise you in terms of his development that you have watched and been kind of in charge of from an offensive perspective? We know about the other skills, but being able to hit the ball hard when they're going after you with that much off speed is pretty amazing for a rookie.
No, it is. I saw that statistic last night while watching the game. And is it surprising? I would say slightly. I knew that he was going to be challenged just because, you know, when a guy like that steps into the box, and certainly there's enough history to tell anyone that, you know, as an opponent preparing to face Luis Robert, hey, this guy can do some damage. You know, I've been impressed with how he's handled the major league transition, and that goes back to game one. You know, you have an idea on how he's going to be challenged, and I would say that, you know, the other teams have attacked him, you know, in a way that I think was somewhat predictable. However, I didn't think that he was going to be attacked necessarily with, you know, so much off speed and you know, pitches out of the zone. And that just speaks to his adjustments that he's made and the calmness that he's bringing to the table. So and then once again, you know, how he's squaring up some pitches right now. I mean, we know the ability to hit the ball hard, but he's doing it consistently. He's making good decisions. He hasn't gotten outside of his approach at all. And that, which is, you know, natural for young players to do, and the fact that he's really not doing that, it's just a testament to what he's capable of doing. It's been fun to watch. We know what he's capable of doing, and for him to show it this early in his career, is even more encouraging.
White Sox Director of Player Development, Chris Getz, our guest on Inside the Clubhouse. He's Matt. I'm Bruce. We're here with you every week, 52 weeks out of the year, talking baseball from 9 to 11 on The Score. Chris, Nick Madrigal, he wouldn't go away happy. He came back happy from his 6 days of or 7 days being down in Schaumburg and away from the team. Your thoughts about just the feistiness of Madrigal and us seeing that, shaking hands with Rick Renteria when he was told he was going to Schaumburg first and then coming back and showing, that type of grit, back on the field in his first major league game yesterday.
Well, certainly, that's how he was advertised, as a college player. The peskiness, the ability to square at pitches and just put together a quality at bat, let alone what he does on the defensive side, base running, just game awareness overall. As he got his feet wet in professional baseball, and last year was his first full season, he showed that at three levels last year. Came into spring wanting to impress, certainly wanted to make the club. I think he admittedly would tell you that he was trying to do too much. You saw him kind of out of character at times, both at spring training 1.0 and then at 2.0. And then that meeting, the exit meeting, when he found out, and understandably was disappointed of not making the club. I was in the room when we delivered that news, and I can't say I was surprised with him not wanting to shake hands, because that's just the competitor that he is.
Love that.
And then two days ago when we delivered the news that he was going up, you've got guys that are hugging everyone, not that we want to be hugging anyone or high-fiving. It was more what were you guys waiting for? Let's go. And that's who
great.
He is. His expectation level is just so high. And I think that's certainly going to work to his benefit. So, he got through his game last night. I thought his at-bats were solid. The first game is a big leaguer for anyone. It's quite an experience. But he helped us win a ball game. He really did, whether it be him squaring up some pitches, making plays defensively, just the what he brings to the table for our pitchers, knowing that he's there at second base. He's just a stabilizing force, and look forward to watching him, as things progress.
Hey, Chris, listeners and baseball fans in this town are so well-versed in the service time rules because of the Chris Bryant situation and the grievance and everything that took place. Is that rule a part of the backdrop of what was going on in Nick's mind? And does it create awkwardness for you to deal with, because you're obviously in the corner of these players, but then sometimes rules like that get in the way and complicate things in the mind of players?
I mean, we certainly are aware that type of discussions are going on and a level of skepticism. But in the case for Nick, I think you can just kind of point to what he was trying to do in summer camp or spring training. And, he was pressing and there were things that we wanted to work on. And, as we got into our first game of the season and we're watching this team. And certainly we had a plan for Nick when he was told he wasn't making the club. So he comes to Schaumburg and we were able to provide, work that we felt like would help get him comfortable if and when that day comes for him to help the ball club. Cause, there were some things that we wanted to focus on. And a lot of it was, hunting his own pitch, creating rhythm in the box, things that I felt like, he was getting away from. He was getting away from his strength. So we went to work day one, and Nick took to it. He was having some really good at-bats. I know it's a little different, not playing, let's say, real baseball, real ball games, playing competition that we're accustomed to seeing at a AAA or AA level. But we're still getting at-bats, and we still have intent and purpose with what we're doing on a daily basis. And you know, those results were showing. And, you know, we felt like there was a need at our major league level based on what we had seen. So, and felt that Nick was going to help with some of the things we identified as perhaps an issue. So, you know, I feel like he's going to help us win some ball games, plain and simple. And I'm glad he's up there.
Chris, in closing with you, Matt and I appreciate your time as always. Thanks for hopping on today. I look at you like, you know, maybe someone, a very young guy, like A.J. Hinch's career going through player development, being a player, and then being a high-quality manager. Do you have any aspirations for doing other things in the game? Would you manage down the road? Is that ever popped into your mind, or are you content where you're at and where you're going in the front office?
You know, what's been offered to me here is a job that I really enjoy. And I think at times, you know, people can lose sight of what's in front of them. So it's important to just sink your teeth with what the organization is asking you to do. And that's to help the player development system here, plain and simple. Do I have aspirations? Sure. Can I specifically tell you that I want to do this or want to do that? I guess, but that's really not my job. I want to be evaluated with the job that I have in front of me, and if that means that they want me to do something different down the road, so be it. But I really enjoy what I'm doing, and if that means that leads to something different down the road, that's fine. But right now the White Sox have asked me to do this, and I enjoy doing it.
Hey, Chris, I got to ask you real quick about Garrett Crochet. How does he look? And in this crazy season when there are no minor league levels at which to play and you might find yourself in it, what's the temptation? What's the possibility for him helping the big league club?
Well, I tell you what, you know, he's thrown four side sessions now. And, you know, to be honest with you, there's definitely pieces of the environment that we're given right now that I really like. And part of that is just being able to slow some things down and really focus on some instruction. We certainly have a lot of history on Garrett Crochet, but really you need to get in front of him and start working with him to get a strong understanding of what those needs are going to be to make him an impact major league pitcher. From what he's done from day one to today has been really impressive, whether that be delivery-based, pitch development. You know, he's really taken to the instruction on a daily basis. I tip my hat to the guys that we have surrounded him right now. But this guy, we've got a big lefty. He's athletic. You know, he's got three pitches right out of the gate. It's a power pitcher. It's a presence. You know, as being a former player, a position player, a left-handed hitter, I can't say that I would be too comfortable right now facing him. You know, he's definitely bringing something to the table right now that would definitely strike some fear in some major league hitters. But it's my job, it's our job to make him the best player that he can be. But what we've seen so far has been very encouraging. Does that mean he helps us this year? I don't know. I can't answer that. He hasn't faced hitters quite yet. So we've designed a work plan for him to get as many side sessions in as possible, and eventually we'll start building them up more, but it's been fun to watch so far.
Chris, thanks a ton for jumping on with us. Keep up the great work. Let's hope that baseball continues on. Everybody's concerned, but I know the White Sox, Cubs, and all the teams are doing their very best to make sure that it stays a safe environment. Thanks again for joining us in Inside the Clubhouse.
You got it, guys. Good luck with everything, and have a great day, and I always appreciate coming on with you guys.
Yeah, thanks, thank Chris. You very much. Hey, we gotta hit a break. Len Casper joining us next. We'll continue to talk the story of the day that the Cardinals game has been canceled in Milwaukee. The Cardinals, we are hearing staff-wise, maybe upwards of five people have tested positive. We'll continue on that. It's Matt Spiegel. It's Bruce Levine. It's Inside the Clubhouse on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com.
The bases are loaded, two away, 0-2 the count on Hayward. The pitch by Turley. He serves one into right for a base hit. Bryant comes in, racing around third, and coming home is Schwarber. He will score easily. Advancing to third is Contreras. A clutch two-run single by Jason Hayward puts the Cubs up 4-0 here in the fifth inning.
It's just a reminder that we all need is to continue to have fun. you know, it's going to be cliche, but it's at the end of the day, you know, we're all going through something that's very weird. It's a different time. But we got to continue to remind ourselves to go out there, have fun, enjoy competing. And the camaraderie that we have is, you know, something that I don't take for granted. You know, it's not always easy to have that. It takes time to build. But these guys know that, you know, we have an opportunity to play baseball right now, and we show up for work every day. We work hard, but we got to have fun. So it's just nice knowing that you got that up there at each at bat, feeling like the whole team is with you.
Boy, that's thoughtful stuff as always from Jason Hayward. It's Matt Spiegel and Bruce Levine here on Inside the Clubhouse. That's a Hayward 2-run single from last night, courtesy right here at the Score. And then there's Jason talking about the camaraderie of the team, but also the realities of playing baseball within a pandemic. These guys have each other's back during the game and off the field, Bruce, in terms of doing what's necessary to try and control the virus as best they can.
Absolutely, and our next guest can help us walk through some of that, as we are pleased to bring in our good friend Len Casper, the voice of the Chicago Cubs on television on the Marquee Network. Good morning, Lenny. How are you today?
Hey, Bruce. Speaks. How are you guys?
We're doing quite well. Obviously, there's some concern out there, once again, about the St. Louis Cardinals and some positive tests within their organization. Some staff members are being told by John Heyman and others that upwards of five may have been positive tests for the coronavirus. Your thoughts about where baseball's at in this last week of the season, and how we can hopefully march through this?
Yeah, it's scary. I don't know where we're going or where we're headed. You often hear, let's just take it day to day, but man, is it really true here in 2020? Assuming the Brewers and Cardinals don't get their games in, it's going to be almost three dozen cancellations already in about 10 days to start the season. The Marlins, we don't know where that thing is headed. The Phillies haven't played in about a week. The Blue Jays still haven't played in their home away from home. This thing was in the East, and now it's in the Central. So, yeah, I think everyone is taking it seriously, and it may not matter. So I just am going to enjoy every minute I have at the ballpark, understanding that things can change incredibly quickly. Number one, it's about health and keeping everybody safe, not only within the game, but people around it who do come into contact with those in the quote, you know, 30 bubbles of team travel. But beyond that, guys, I think there's a competitive balance part of this that's starting to get a little itchy for me. The Marlins have played three games. I've seen some people suggest they should just shut down their season, reimburse them for the money they would lose for their TV, and call it a day. I that doesn't feel right to me. I don't know how you take one of 30 teams in this sport and just say, you know, go have a nice vacation. I think it's either everybody or nobody. That's how I feel. I don't know how you guys feel about it.
Yeah, it's crazy. Some of the things that have been thought about, some of the things that have already been implemented. It's adapt or die, and I appreciate that. But where is that limit? Where is that line? I had thought about that, you know, just eliminating the Marlins year, and you give everybody two out of three in the schedule for what your games would have been there, or you just don't deal with them, and you have the disparate numbers of games. They're obviously willing to do that. Seven-inning doubleheaders, crazy amounts of rescheduling. When does competitive integrity get lost? I think if, as you say, the East and now the Central get massively affected, it's like, well, it better happen out West or else we're not competitively balanced. I don't know what the limitations are, though, frankly, for Rob Manfred and the owners. I think they're committed. We had John Heyman on. He said he thinks baseball will try to withstand a second team outbreak, if that is indeed what we're dealing with the Cardinals. He thinks they'll try and withstand it and move forward. Do you suspect that they will?
Well, you know, I'm conflicted. I mean, yes, I do, considering what has happened since the start of summer camp and all the positive tests and the cancellations we've had. I think if you compiled all the things that have gone wrong on that front and you passed them along, you know, on a piece of paper 3 weeks ago, I think the three of us would say, "Ooh, yeah, no, I don't see how a season could happen." But we've plowed through it. So part of me thinks that we will continue to play through it. And I'm loving being at the ballpark and being on the air with JD. I mean, we're having a blast. But then I look at some of the daily death totals and, you know, it had gotten down to 400, 300, which is still awful. But we're now back up over 1,000, up to 1,500 a day. And with people needing testing, I'm starting, as I said, the word is itchy. I'm starting to feel some anxiety about how this is feeling during what everyone who's an expert continues to say is still the first wave of this thing, and we still may have something worse around the corner. So, yeah, I'm very concerned.
That's Len Casper, the voice of the Chicago Cubs on Marquee and the Cubs television network, along with JD, does such a great job every day doing all the games. Lenny, I guess my statement and then my question to you is, I'm at the ballpark like you guys are for the home games. And then I've been at home watching the away games. And the product on radio and television is a million times better on television and radio than it is at the ballpark, where you guys really have to create an awful lot of energy yourselves in these broadcasts, because there's nothing going on in the ballpark other than those guys down in the field and 12 of us in the press box and you guys doing the television and Pat and Ron and Zach doing radio. And it's just it's so much better watching it than it is being there, at least for me. I wonder what your thoughts are and how you do create that energy to do what you guys are doing right now.
Well, that's what I would add to the last question and answer, is that I do feel it's a public service. And, you know, trying to preserve and conserve what we've done and accomplished to this point as an industry, I think should be applauded. And I think people are craving that as part of their daily routine. So that's part of the reason why, you know, I hope we can make this thing work. I have talked to so many people outside of the ballpark who recognize me even through the mask, and they unsolicited come up and stand 6 feet away and say, "It's so great to have your voice and the sights and sounds of baseball in my living room. It really means a lot to me." I've had a lot of people say that. It's incredibly heartening. And I don't take that responsibility lightly. I think it was sorely missed in the first 4 months of what would have been the regular season. And then beyond that, selfishly, I'm working with some amazing people at Marquee Sports Network. Both of you guys know a lot of these people because you've done a bunch of Cubs 360 shows. They did amazing work during the shutdown, basically all online. And created all this content, but they're all here because they love baseball and they want to produce and direct and shoot baseball games, and that's what we've been able to do. And so I've just asked our audio people, you know, give me as much sound from the ballpark as I possibly can get, not only when we're at home, but when we're on the road and we're sitting in the booth at Wrigley and the Cubs are in Cincinnati or Pittsburgh or wherever they are, that the more ambiance I can get of the ballpark and even the pumped-in crowd noise, the better that is for my energy, and the more it puts me in a normal, comfortable place that reminds me of doing games with fans. I said it last night. The moment it hit me how much we miss the fans is when Baez laid down the bunt and Williams overthrew first base. I mean, that would have been a galvanizing moment for the crowd at Wrigley Field, because they love Javi Baez, they love his energy and what he brings. And that moment, there was the buzz of the fake crowd, and there was some, you know, volume that went up, but it's just not quite the same. And I think it's up to us as broadcasters to bring that energy to the game and the broadcast.
Well, it's amazing to hear you talk about the process, because I got to tell you, even though, you know, I know what kind of work goes into it, and I know, what kind of challenges there are. When I watch you and JD do a game, it feels incredibly comfortable and familiar. The delivery, the patter, the banter, the everything, and even just the feel and the sounds. It's just, it has been incredibly heartwarming to have back for 8 days, 9 days, 10 days, whatever it's going to end up being, and hopefully more. What have you noticed and felt when you get that ballpark sound, when you hear the dugout as much as you have? We all had so many expectations about what David Ross's return would mean for the interpersonal dynamic with that team. They're obviously so plugged in every pitch, every at bat, and you can tell with the results and with the process. What are you picking up as you hear the dugout alive like it is?
Well, it sounds like a David Ross team, and he will not take any credit for all the energy and all the stuff you hear, but that's the kind of player he was. And you didn't hear him encouraging his teammates in the dugout when he played, because we had crowds and that stuff was drowned out by other natural noise in the ballpark. I don't know, and nobody's told me that he specifically said anything to the group. If just his old teammates picked up on that vibe that he wanted to create, he's giving all the credit to his players for it. But it has a David Ross feel to it. I Bruce can tell you, being in the clubhouse many times before a 120 start after a late night game, and all of a sudden you hear David Ross's booming voice, come on, boys, let's go, let's get excited, here we go, we got a big league game today. And that's what that atmosphere in the dugout feels like, and it seems infectious, man. I don't know. Obviously when you're being shut down by Sonny Gray, we didn't hear a lot of that in Cincinnati. So it's coming from the good results on the field. But if that feedback loop can continue, I'm all for it.
Lenny, the suit and tie is something that some of Chicago people and critics have had to get used to here. Your thoughts about being on Marquee, looking great, by the way, every day, you and JD and in suits and ties. But getting used to that, what is that like? What are your thoughts on it?
Well, I agree, and I appreciate your comment. I'm loving it. I think we look fantastic. I'm enjoying the new look myself. I love the vibe of the graphics. I think the entire presentation of Marquee Sports Network is world class. I try to look as good as I can every time I'm on camera. It's a visual medium. So the suit and tie thing is great with me. Look, if we do have oppressive weather conditions, if it's in the 90s and high humidity, you may see us in the Marquee polos. But for the most part, I like cleaning up and dressing up, and it's been great. It's funny. Everyone's asking me about the suit and tie. No one asks if I'm wearing pants. Go ahead and ask.
Next show, Matt and I are going to ask you if you're wearing pants. Okay.
I'll give away. Yeah, I am wearing pants, and they look great.
That's disappointing, frankly. I was enjoying the imagery there. I just assume the polo shirt is underneath the button down, and at some point you'll just rip the button down off to reveal the polo. At some point, if the moment.
Yeah, starts. No. I mean, again, it's funny. The big conversation before the opener was, can I get the network? Now it's what I'm wearing. So we've come a long way. We're in good shape, guys.
Hey, Lenny, keep up the great work. Like I said, the product on television, the product on radio, and I know people will, they'll haze me for it because I'm a part of both, I think is great. So I'm going to tell you that anyway, and just keep the energy going, because you and JD are doing a fantastic job of making it sound like a regular broadcast with 40,000 people there. And I'm telling you, that's not easy.
Well, I appreciate all the support, Bruce. And then I have to tell you both, it's been fun being on the air with you guys. I think about a really weird time in our lives, but those moments where we could be on Marquee Sports Network kind of chewing the fat on who might be the opening day second baseman. That was fun, and that was a nice diversion, I think, for all of us over the last few months.
Agreed. See you at the ballpark tonight. Take care, buddy. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Len. It's Len Casper, the voice of the Cubs on TV. It's been a fun broadcast to have back in our lives, Bruce. I just
you're wearing a suit and tie right now, aren't you, Matt?
I am indeed. You know, you.
Mitch always asks us to put a suit and tie on when we're doing our radio show, and I like it.
It gives me a Tom Landry feel. Gives me a Tom Landry feel. that kind of thing. Like, and Connie Mack. Like, I'm okay with it. I really am.
It's good to laugh and be able to enjoy something over here with all the doom and gloom that we've been talking about since we started the show at 9 o'clock with John Heyman's report that five people with the Cardinal organization tested positive, and that we don't know where that's going other than the fact that the Brewer and Cardinal game tonight has been canceled. It's good because baseball is about fun, and this show should always be about fun and entertaining people and having a good time. Unfortunately, we have to report the news and what it is.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you said doom and gloom, I thought you meant Craig Kimbrell's fastball sitting right there.
We haven't gotten to that. But if we ever get back from a break before Rosie and Mark take over, I think we'll talk about that.
All right, good. Let's do that next. This hour right here on 670 The Score has been brought to you by Menards. Save big money at Menards. We'll come back, wrap it up, and hand it off to Rosenblum and Grody on 670 The Score.
Drill to deep right down the line. Hayward going back. This ball is going to be a home run for Josh Bell. The Cub lead now 6-2 as Colin Moran drives one to deep left field. All the way back is Happ, and that ball is gone for a home run. Back-to-back home runs against Craig Kimbrell.
Well, gave up those two homers back-to-back, did Craig Kimbrell last night, Bruce Levine. But then he got three outs. The bad news is that the three outs were all hit harder than the two home runs, Bruce. All five were absolute rockets, well over 100 miles per hour in terms of exit velocity. Fastball was at 96, 97, just down in the zone. What do we worry about Craig Kimbrell right now?
Here's what I'll give you on this. The last time out against Cincinnati, he threw, I don't know how many, but probably in the teens numbers of breaking 15. Balls, and they didn't swing at any of them, right? So tonight, with a little cushion, his intent was to go there and establish the fastball, and that he did. So that is, now if you believe in player development for a Hall of Fame quality pitcher who needs to get his swerve back, I think that's what you saw last night. Not making any excuses for it, not saying that he solved his problem. I'm just telling you that this is exactly where he went last night. So are the Cubs out of the woods, and is he straightened out? I'm not reporting that at this point.
No, but look, that makes all the sense in the world. If the dude needs to get comfortable with the fastball and spotting it and try to get that ride, as Ross calls it, that carry on the four-seam fastball, I get it. He can't live down there in the zone is my thing. It's like he always has been a guy who lives towards the top of the strike zone and above it and gets guys to swing under it. And lately he has been all too willing to live down there in the zone with that fastball. So I don't understand what's going on
right
there.
You're right, Matt, 100%. But what happens is there's a vulnerability, both physically and mentally, for a closer. And that is when you have the perception that your stuff is so good that you're unhittable, like Kimbrell has had for the first 10 years of his career, you get the tendency of the offense being on the defense and making bad swings and getting behind in the count on pitches that are out of the zone. We saw it with Carlos Marmol during when he went from a great closer to a suspect. The fact that they lay off of that really great stuff that aren't strikes, and all of a sudden the pitcher is in the 3-1, 2-1 hole, and it's a whole different game when you have to throw a strike. A real strike rather than a perception of a strike with a great breaking ball and a great rising fastball. And you identified it perfectly. The idea you cannot live with a fastball, no matter how hard you throw it down in the zone, because that will get murdered by today's hitters. So I think this is what we're watching, this up and get up and back with Kimbrel trying to regain that confidence. And hitters who are very smart and coaches on other teams who are very smart and metrics people are very smart telling you exactly how to approach Craig Kimbrel right now.
Yeah, and this ties in to the idea of the changeup, because the overall big picture is maybe admitting that you're not infallible and adjusting, that your stuff is not unhittable and adjusting, and then somehow getting that confidence back. It's an incredibly difficult thing. A lot of pitchers can't do it late in their career.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, we saw Randy Myers, we saw Lee Smith, we saw countless closers throughout their career continue on to 350, 478 saves after they lost their fastball, because they knew how to pitch. Okay.
Yes.
And they knew how to grab the corners. And Kimbrel, as you said, was working on a changeup to add to the repertoire, just to change the eye level of the hitters, so that everything hard across and hard up, you're not moving the hitter's eyes. And Ron Coomer, our great color commentator on Cub baseball, he was the one that told me about this. That this is exactly what they need to do for Kimbrel, to use that other pitch, to use these pitches that appear to be strikes down, just to change the comfortability for the hitter up at the plate.
Yep. So if it was a normal baseball season, we'd have so much to dissect with stuff like this. But as it stands, we cover the biggest stories, which today is the cancellation of the Cardinals and Brewers and the possible dismantling of some more Cardinals games and what that might mean for MLB. That part was not fun. A lot of the rest of it was, though, Bruce.
A great job by Adam Studzinski, our great producer. Matt, great having you back as well. We have people to thank. Len Casper of the Marquee Network. Also, Jason McLeod, Vice President of Personnel for the Cubs. And Chris Getz, the Director of Minor Leagues for the White Sox. Matt, have a great week. People can follow me on Twitter at MLB Bruce Levine, as well as on our website, writing Sox and Cubs at 670thescore.com.
And I'll be solo on Hit and Run tomorrow morning from 9 to 12. So come back for more baseball tomorrow morning. Rosenblum and Grody are next right here on The Score. Have a great day, everybody.